Get ready to laugh your ass off.
The shame God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
It's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Hi, welcome to the Lesbian Lounge. This is Denise. I am super thrilled to be here with you. I don't know if you are listening to us on rainbowradio.fm. You could be if it's Wednesday and it's 3 p.m. Eastern, or maybe you found our podcast from My Lesbian Radio. We are owned and produced and all that good stuff by My Lesbian Radio. You can check out mylesbianradio.com for more information. We can be found on iTunes. We can be found on Stitcher. We're everywhere, basically. And there's lots to talk about because I've decided, like, in the last, 15 minutes, that this is my favorite time of year because, like, there's a snap in the air. It's crisp. The leaves are red and orange and bright yellow. The nights are getting longer and colder. Fall TV is in full swing. The NFL is in week 6. Baseball is heading towards the World Series. Halloween is right around the corner. Lamar is going to be okay. And Netflix is making a Gilmore's reunion. What more could you ask for? I mean, these are good times that we're living in, people. Good times. Well, anyways, yes, I am your host. I'm Denise. This is the Lesbian Lounge, and again, I don't know where you found us, but I'm happy that you're with me. There's so much stuff going on, that I never even know where to jump in, but I gotta say, just in going through my, Facebook, news feed, that the 20-something girls of pop music are saying all the right things lately. I don't know if you've noticed, but, like, Selena Gomez recently stating that exploring your sexuality is a good thing. Taylor Swift promoting her girl power with the Bad Blood video. LGBT advocate Demi Lovato with her recent single Cool for the Summer dabbled in a little girl-on-girl bumping and grinding and flirting in the video. And then she just released her latest single. The title track off her new album Confident is called Confident. And the video is starring herself and everyone's favorite Is She or Isn't She star Michelle Rodriguez kicking ass and beating up bad guys. So I'm super thrilled about this. I think this is cool because they're reaching a generation that we didn't. and they're letting them know it's okay to be yourself. So just because of that, I wanted to play a little bit of Cool for the Summer, Demi Lovato.
If I did, what's my price? I just wanna play with you.
Yep, I'm digging it. I like the message. I'm good with it. And I've always liked Demi Lovato, more so than, you know, Nicki Minaj and all these other Iggy Azalea and Ariana Grande. Always had a little thing for Demi Lovato. I think she's, I have a little crush, but but I just think that that there's a fearlessness in her that that I like. And I heard she really, really knocked him dead on Saturday Night Live. And I gotta say, one of the biggest problems with me living over here in England is that NBC Universal is very particular about their geo blockers on their videos and stuff. So a lot of people will send me clips from Saturday Night Live or NBC.com, and I can't watch them. I have an IP address blocker, but it's really a pain in the ass to use. So a lot of times I just go without. But the thing is, I just like this kid. I love her. So kudos to you, Demi Lovato, for putting your stuff right out there. She was on Alan Carr a little while ago promoting the song, and she was super flirty about her dabbling in the lady pond and you know, kind of mysterious, but not saying no. And that's that's another thing I like when they don't say no. So cool. Love it. Adele, hello. Adele caused the entire world to lose their shit this week when a mysterious ad during the X Factor television show played over here in the UK, with just words on a screen and her lovely voice singing them. No explanation, no promotion, nothing, just a giant tease, and we ate it up with a massive spoon. Rumor has it, see what I did there? Rumor has it that Adele's next album is due out at the end of November, but neither Sony, her label, or Adele has confirmed nor denied. So if you haven't, if your Facebook feed hasn't been flooded with it, here's a little clip of what was played during that X Factor commercial and what caused everybody to lose their absolute minds.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal the earth, but I ain't done much.
Oh, what could it mean? What could it mean? It's all coming. I feel it. I am such a hardcore Adele fan that I even have the Adele app on my iPhone. I one of the things that lures me down to Brighton so often is the fact that there's a possibility of just bumping into her. And that's my life's goal, to just bump into her and be BFFs. Because, you know, I was thinking the other day, what would the coolest thing ever be? And it would probably be, and this is a good answer because people always say, who would you ever invite to dinner, living or dead, if you could have a dinner party? Amy Schumer, Adele, Tina Fey. How could you go wrong with that? And Jennifer Lawrence, let's be honest. I mean, right there, that is your four-pack of girl power. And I mean, the quintessential best friends. I think people go Oprah, Jesus, whatever. And no, that's who I want. You know, and the funny thing is, I got an email from my mother the other day that said, in the header, Amy Schumer. And then in the body of the email said, I just watched Amy Schumer's HBO stand-up special and she's not my cup of tea. What can I say? Didn't like it. And I thought, well, to be fair, 65 to 75 is probably not her target demographic. And personally, I like what she's doing. I like that she's just kind of speaking out about all the myths of Hollywood. Not even the myths, but, you know, what we all... I mean, seriously, as a big girl, I can truly relate to the things that she says about being in Hollywood and no one ever eats and all that kind of stuff. I remember back in, I don't even know, was it 2007, 8, 9, whenever Donna and I went to L.A. for the Itty Bitty Titty Committee movie big premiere at the Sunset Theaters on Sunset Boulevard. I don't ever remember feeling so out of place as I did those 4 days in Los Angeles. Like, we stayed at the Standard Hotel right there on Sunset, and I just can't recall one moment of that trip that I didn't feel insecure and self-conscious and like I didn't belong. And, you know, so that's one of the things I think that it's so relatable when Amy Schumer's up there shitting on, you know, models and actresses and stuff like that. I saw a couple of other posts. There was one from feministing.com, I think. Of course, a lesbian wrote it that said that, you know, although the comedy special was super funny, you know, there were times when she felt like that Amy Schumer was talking directly about people instead of, I don't know, you know, what it was really all about. But in other words, this lesbian was offended at certain points. And I just thought to myself, my God, you know, in this day and age, comedy is what it is. And you can, you know, you've got to be bold. Everything has been done, you know, in order to keep it fresh. I think there's got to be a level of honesty, and sometimes that's going to offend people. But the bottom line is that you've got to be able to laugh too. And we're also politically correct and uptight that if somebody says something about lesbians, we get up in arms. If somebody says something about Indians, we get up in arms. If somebody says something about black people, we get up in arms. And it's ridiculous. I mean, is it going to hurt people's feelings? Yeah, maybe it is, you know, but is it going to make people laugh? Most of the time it's going to. And some things you just have to allow to roll off your back because it's not a political statement. It's comedy. You know, I mean, like, you got to consider the context and what it's delivered in. And I think that's a big part of it. So I'm looking forward to it. We haven't had the Amy Schumer special here yet in England. I have a feeling I'm kind of guessing here, but I think Comedy Central will end up buying the rights from HBO and we'll be able to see it through Comedy Central. But I am seriously, seriously looking forward to it. I can't even stand it. But all right, let's go back. So Adele caused the world to lose their shit, and we don't know whether it's coming. We don't know when it's coming, but we're ready for it. And like I said, being the huge fan that I have the app on the phone, so I'm hoping that there's some reward for having the stupid app on my phone. Like, will we be the first to know? Will we be able to pre-order it on iTunes? I'm on the mailing list. I stalk around Brighton. I'm always digging and looking, you know, for any little bit of news. So I'm telling you, when I hear it, I will relay it to you. Hopefully I'll hear it first. Speaking of our favorite Brits, the Ab Fab ladies have released a first look, a picture actually, from the new Absolutely Fabulous movie that's been talked about for the last 2 years. Finally, a picture of Adina and Patsy on a yacht, drinks in hand, was plastered across the internet yesterday. And funny lady Jennifer Saunders, who wrote the movie, stated, "I'm thrilled to say we've started filming in the south of France. We're all on medication and we're hoping for the best." So I don't know about you guys, but I am totally looking forward to it. I love these two. I love everything about it. Got the box set. You can't go wrong. Jennifer Saunders always delivers. Like, I know this has been taking forever. I remember Graham Norton just badgering her on whether she was writing the script, and you know, she was kind of you know, hemming and hawing a little bit about it. But seriously, I know this is going to be a good one, and I, for one, am most looking forward to it. So yay to you, Jennifer Saunders. Geeks everywhere nearly shit themselves when the Star Wars The Force Awakens newest poster and trailer hit the internet yesterday. And here's the best part. The official trailer will be shown on television in a commercial during Monday Night Football. The irony here just cracks me up. So geeks have got to sit through ESPN's Monday Night Football. Come closer, all you geeks. Come here, come closer. Monday Night Football is on TV Monday evening. It's a sporting game where two opposing teams try to score touchdowns and field... Yeah, never mind. You're just going to have to watch it. You're just going to have to sit through it and then just revel in the irony like I am. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. The merchandise is out. The buzz has been created. So I get it. I totally get it. I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and I saw something that stuck with me, and it's like, I don't want to vent. This isn't really a vent, but it's just like all of a sudden I'm noticing that celebrities are starting to jump on the podcast bandwagon. Like, I don't know. Like, they're not famous enough. Like, the media doesn't hang on every word as it is. They got to come into our podcast house and All right. Okay. So, anyways, celebrities like Jerry Ferrara, or otherwise known as Turtle. I use celebrities loosely here. Jerry Ferrara, Ross Matthews, Andy Cohen, Adam Carolla, Chris Hardwick, Jenny McCarthy, Brandy Glanville, Jay Moore, Kevin Smith, Colin Quinn, Josh Wolf, Sarah Colonna, and Jillian Michaels, just to name a few, all have podcasts, which kill me because some of them even have television shows. I mean, Ross has got television shows. Andy Cohen's got television. Why do you got to dabble in the podcast market? Like, leave some room for the little guy to try and carve out a niche for themselves, will you please? But now you can add a new name to the list, and that is Alanis Morissette. That's right. Conversations with Alanis will be happening on iTunes. It's being listed as a self-help show. She will, quote-unquote, dive into science, neurobiology, music, travel, social commentary, maybe a tiny bit of politics, and some feminism. Well, that's quite a description, and that's bold. I guess it's pretty cool now. You can say you're in therapy, and your therapist is Alanis Morissette. I mean, really. You know, I gotta say, I feel right now, I see a lot of news everywhere, not just on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, social media, but I mean, really everywhere in the news. Rosie O'Donnell, Jesus, she must be looking ahead to 2016 because 2015 has been a rough, rough year. The longtime comedian actress Rosie recently performed at Gotham Comedy Club and she spoke openly about her family. Rosie and her second wife, Michelle Rounds, divorced in November, after which Rosie abruptly quit her second run on The View. Later, it was rumored that Michelle attempted to OD on pills after the two were amidst the custody battle over their two-year-old daughter, Dakota. If that wasn't enough, Chelsea, Rosie's daughter with Kelly Carpenter, made headlines when the 17-year-old ran away to meet up with a 27-year-old Tinder hookup, Stephen Shear, with a prison record for drug dealing. Earlier this year, when Chelsea turned 18, she left O'Donnell's household, citing that she was moving in with her birth mother, and later said to be staying with Shear again. During this time, Rosie's father passed away. She was stalked and hunted by the paparazzi for a rumored affair with Tatum O'Neill. And now, to top it all off, a former producer of The View is suing Rosie for defamation, stating that O'Donnell was a bully. Jennifer Bookman Shepherd's lawsuit alleges that O'Donnell accused her of shifting coverage of the James Foley ISIS beheading to Whoopi Goldberg, which led to a heated argument where screaming ensued, causing the producer to cry and be in fear of her safety. At the Gotham Comedy Club, though, Rosie never touched on the lawsuit, but she did speak from the heart where the family was concerned and said, "I love all my kids. My daughter has been in the news. It's been in the news, but it's not news to the family," Rosie said on Saturday night. "It's been a decade long. And as a mom, my wish is for love and peace. And what can you do? You just wait until it's done." She also mentioned that she's coping as best she can with her daughter's decision not to live with her in her Nyack, New York home. "What choice do you have but to get through it? I have four other kids," she said. "I keep thinking I see Chelsea. When your kid isn't there, you see them everywhere." So, I mean, personally, my thoughts go out to Rosie. This has been a never-ending shitstorm, and I just hope it eases up for her soon, because this is that is a lot to deal with in a few short months. It feels like it's been going on forever, so hopefully she'll find a little bit of peace, because that's it is a lot to deal with. I mean, the year before she had a heart attack. I mean, just never anything good. Just want to see some good stuff happen for Rosie. Speaking of good stuff, Freeheld opened in theaters nationwide on Friday, October 16th, to stellar reviews. Julianne Moore was on the Ellen DeGeneres Show last week to promote the film. Ellen Page was on the week prior. And then Ellen DeGeneres welcomed Miley Cyrus and Linda Perry, who collaborated on the song Hands of Love. It's one of the main title tracks of the movie. If you haven't seen the video of Miley and Linda, it's a really good song, so maybe look that up and treat yourself. I can't wait to see the movie. It's not here yet, but I do follow Ellen Page on Instagram, and it looked like she was in Germany for a premiere, so maybe it's making its way. Not sure, but I hope so. Other news here in England, the stage show of Tipping the Velvet is happening right now at the Lyric Theatre in London. If you're a big Sarah Waters fan, like most lesbians are, you've got till this weekend before it ends. Proud to say we're going this Thursday. My wife has arranged a herd of lesbians to go to the event. Not to mention that my wife is the biggest fan of Tipping the Velvet ever. In fact, the only time she ever asked me to use my, and I'm doing this in bunny ears, fame connections, was at an Elfest a few years ago. We were staying at the same hotel as Sarah Waters, and we were kind of all walking out at the same time through the lobby, and Gemma actually said to me, "Go introduce yourself so I can meet her." Who? Sarah Waters. Who is she? Oh my God, just right up there. Just go introduce yourself. It was quite the big deal. So I have a feeling this is going to be a big deal. And I'm looking forward to a night out in London. We don't get to do that much. But it should be pretty cool. It should be pretty fun. I mean, I've definitely seen it. My wife has the DVD. She's got the book. I think she's even got it on audio. I remember when we first met, she used to put her earbuds in at night, and probably because I snore, who knows? But she would listen to the audio book at night. So she's well versed on the Tipping the Velvet books, and this it should be fun. It should be cool. So there is a bunch of us going, and I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. It is October, as I mentioned, and boobs are everywhere with Breast Cancer Awareness Month in full swing. And I love this story. I love this story to no end. Pittsburgh Steeler running back D'Angelo Williams is doing something about breast cancer awareness. He's paid for the cost of 53 mammograms in the Pittsburgh and the Charlotte, North Carolina area because he lost his mom to breast cancer in 2014. Says D'Angelo, "It's not just about October for me. It's not just a month. It's a lifestyle." Williams told a news outlet speaking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. "It's about getting women to recognize getting tested and getting tested early." On his Instagram, he posted a video stating, "This is dedicated to my mom, my aunts, and women everywhere affected by breast cancer. I love you. Hashtag we are in this together." And this is an audio from his 30-second video. Keep up the good work. I like this. I like this guy, and I think he's doing some amazing stuff.
"My daughter, pink is her favorite color. My hair is pink. My heart is pink. And my toenails are pink." Yeah. "And she always says it's pink for Nana. Pink is not a color, it's a culture to me. I wear the color pink on the field for the rest of my career. To all the survivors and the ones that's going through it, we love you. You're not alone. We will continue this fight against breast cancer."
That's pretty great because, yes, the NFL is a big part of it. In October, everybody's wearing pink and all that. But I think sometimes men kind of gloss over it. And that's what I like is that he's right in it, digging his heels right in it for personal reasons. And, there's not a lot of people that haven't been affected by it. So I think what he's doing is quite commendable. So let's get back to this Gilmore news, shall we? We can't in good faith just gloss over it. No, we cannot. If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, the only thing you have to do is call my name. Yeah, you got it. It's pretty official. Pretty official. Being reported by every entertainment outlet right now, from here to Kingdom Come. TV Line confirmed it, The Wrap, Deadline Hollywood, Entertainment Weekly, The Hollywood Life, Vulture, The Hollywood Reporter, and finally Entertainment Tonight, all reporting that for reals, this is happening. Oh yeah. How cool is this news? I actually, I got to play the clip because I don't really feel like things are especially official until you hear it with the Entertainment Tonight jingle.
Get excited! Gilmore Girls is coming back!
And this is what you want?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, Rory!
There it is.
Rory, it's not. TV Line is reporting Netflix has closed a deal with Warner Brothers to bring back the classic series for four 90-minute episodes.
Never underestimate the persuasive powers of Lorelai Gilmore.
Although Warner Brothers declined to comment, Lauren Graham, Alexis Bledel, Kelly Bishop, and Scott Patterson are all rumored to be on board. This deal allows executives Amy Sherman Palladino and Daniel Palladino to return to the show after leaving prior to the final season due to contract disputes. We hope this means we're finally getting those final four words. We can tell you how stoked we are, but Lorelai summed it up pretty well.
You ever know that you're my hero?
Oh my god!
You're everything I would like to be. And I can fly higher than an eagle. Cause you are the wind beneath my wings.
Oh, alright folks. That is big, big news. That is big, big news. I can't even tell you how super stoked I am. So basically, Netflix is currently in contract negotiations with the cast and crew for the limited run, like you heard. Lauren Graham herself tweeted, "Dudes, I cannot confirm this, but I also cannot deny it," with a link to the breaking news. So will this actually mean that we do get to hear the final four words from Amy Sherman Palladino? Any huge Gilmore fan knows that Amy and Dan created the show, and from the moment they created it, they had the final four words and how they would end it. And she's always alluded to them. She's never said what they were. And if you know, again, if you're a diehard fan, you know that Amy and Dan were not part of the last season. So could this finally mean we're going to get them? Will Lorelai and Luke be together? Do we know who Rory will be with? Will Melissa McCarthy be back as Suki St. James? This is huge. This is like Star Wars huge for Gilmore fans. That's the only way I can equate it for anybody to try and wrap their head around what's going on here, the phenomenon that's happening. So I know I am. I could not be happier. But you know, last year or earlier this year, when the whole reunion, the cast got together for the reunion at the ATX festival, I thought we were going to literally shit ourselves over that. And there was so much talk about, you know, will there be, won't there be? And there was just nothing in the works at the time. And look at Netflix, like just going at it, scooping it up, finally making it happen. So thank you, Netflix, for every good thing in our lives right now. Oh, God. So funny. I'm so ridiculously happy. It's crazy. Well, Lesbos, you know, we really are everywhere this year right now. And I suspect that we're going to have a strong showing at the Oscars between Freeheld, Carol, the Cate Blanchett new movie that's out with Rooney Mara. I think even Suffragette. We're not really invisible any longer. I mean, we're not right out in the forefront, but we're not invisible any longer, and that's big news. Like, slowly, we're making our way into mainstream theaters. We're all over the web, like in web series and stuff. Take Your Pick, Plus One, Easy Abby, She's in London. We're making some serious headway. So when you see, and I know I've mentioned this before, when you see a Kickstarter ad or a request for crowdfunding help, look into it. I mean, really, look into it. See if it's something that interests you, that interests, you know, that could be of interest to the community. Look at Katherine Heigl's Jenny's Wedding. That's a perfect example right there. While it didn't last in cinemas for a long time, it made it to mainstream cinemas. And that was after so many years, quite a few years, trying to raise the funds. There's so many indie filmmakers like Marina Rice Bader and Nicole Kahn, just to name a few, who depend on us, and musicians as well. Jen Foster's White Room Sessions, Melissa Ferrick's new album, both out now, all brought to you by you, from your donations. Like, these things are super, super important. Like, all avenues of media, I mean, even podcasts like this one right here, like Sandra Sanchez's Change of Address, the Pusscast Girls, we don't make money. We're here week after week, month after month, giving it our all, and we're just trying to stay relevant. We're trying to bring you news. We're trying to make you laugh. So when you see something, anything that might need some help getting funded, don't be afraid to throw a few coins at it and help it, you know, keep it going or help it get made, because in all honesty, every little bit helps. And I know I've said it before and it just sounds like I'm harping and begging, but it's not for me. It's for us. So keep that in mind. Like, don't just gloss over it. Keep it in mind. It's big stuff. I also want to give a couple of personal shout-outs right now. You know, Miriam, I love you for always keeping an eye on our Facebook group and dumping some stuff in there, especially these little video clips, the Agnes and Estelle videos. Love those. I don't even know how you found those, but they're so cute and they're so short and they're so funny. So thank you so much. Keep that up. Julie, thank you for keeping us in the loop with the Geez Louise cartoons. I know Angela Adams appreciates that as well as the rest of us. And a big squeeze going out to Joe Schmooze. Hope everything is going well and you're staying positive. To all our regular listeners who drop us notes and posts on Facebook, I love it. I can't get enough of it. So thank you. I also want you to know that we've got a new email address if you want to get in touch with me about anything at all regarding this podcast or anything else. You can do it at the new email address, thelesbianloungepodcast@gmail.com. It's as simple as that. Drop me a note. Tell me what you think, how you found us, what's going on in your neck of the woods, anything, anything. I love when you guys stay in touch. It makes me feel good about what I do, and it makes me feel like you're out there and you're listening, and that makes me so happy. Remember, on our My Lesbian Radio feed, you can find this show. You can find the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. She is a well-known UK lesbian fiction author who has been hosting monthly chats with other authors, with book reviewers, with publishers. And she kind of comes at the whole lesbian fiction genre of book writing from all different angles, and it's doing really super well. This is the we're on our 12th episode. That means a year has gone by, and I'm so proud of what she's doing. If there's anybody out there that you have some kind of focused idea that has to do with our community, and you're interested in doing a podcast, get in touch with me. TheLesbianLoungePodcast@gmail.com. Let's work together. Let's see if we can't get you on the My Lesbian Radio feed. We'll talk. We'll see, you know, if it's something I can help you with, if I can help produce it. I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. You guys, that is it for me. I'm going to leave you with a few tunes that have been on my mind lately, including Maroon 5, Andy Grammer, and T-Swift. Have a great week. Love ya. Mean it. Bye-bye.
I want want that sugar sweet. Don't let nobody touch it unless that somebody's me. I gotta be a man, there ain't no other way. Cause girl, you're hotter than a Southern California day. I don't wanna play no games, you don't gotta be afraid. Don't give me all that shy shit, no makeup on. That's my sugar, yes please. Come and put it down on me.
I'll stay true. I'll stay true. out of this town, drive out of the city, away from the crowds. I thought heaven can't help me now, nothing lasts forever. But this is gonna take me down. He's so tall and handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. I can see the end as it begins. My one condition is, say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Wildest dreams. I said no one has to know what we do. His hands are in my hair, his clothes are in my room, and his voice is a familiar sound. Nothing lasts forever. But this is getting good now. He's so tall and handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. And when we've had our very last kiss, my last request is, say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just pretend. Say you'll remember me, staying in a nice dress, staring.